This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live as we get you ready for NFL Sunday, Week 17. And joining us now to talk about some player props is our sports betting professor, frequent contributor here on VSiN. He is Aaron Moore. Aaron, thanks so much for giving us some time here on Cashing Out. And let's talk props. Obviously, the games that we saw here on Saturday have direct impacts for the games that we're going to see coming up on Sunday. With the Texans winning against the Chargers, it eliminates the Indianapolis Colts from postseason contention. With the Ravens beating the Packers, now the Steelers are in a position where if they beat the Cleveland Browns, they win the division, and that Week 18 game against the Ravens is irrelevant. Does that affect how you're going to play some player props here on Sunday?
Absolutely, Scott. You have to look at playoff implications, if these games matter, talking about contract incentives, so many different variables out there that we have to put together. And what it means for the playoffs certainly is the case in terms of just look as for example, with Las Vegas, with Bowers and Crosby not playing, that those aren't necessarily going to be player props. But there are so many different factors that go into how long do you think a player is going to play? How much might they feature him? Will they feature other players as well? So you have to put all those variables in there. And in terms of Indianapolis, now that they're out of the playoffs, that has to impact the game plan. That has to impact what happens for second and third stringers at the expense of those who are on the first string to begin with.
Absolutely. So we look at a case where the Indianapolis Colts are eliminated. They have no reason to play Phillip Rivers for the entirety of this game. I certainly want to bet Phillip Rivers unders. I understand why Phillip Rivers starts. I understand why Phillip Rivers was there to begin with to give the Colts a chance, a fighting chance, to keep their playoff hopes alive. But now that they're eliminated, Aaron, don't you think it's in the best interest of the organization to give Riley Leonard meaningful in-game snaps to see if he's going to be part of your quarterback rotation next season?
Absolutely. And you understand in the grand scheme of things why Phillip Rivers came back after his retirement for so long. Shane Steichen needed somebody to step in, hopefully not make some mistakes, know the offense. And from a stopgap standpoint, he made sense. Now, if the Colts are eliminated, you have a guy like Riley Leonard, probably will factor out to be a backup as his career moves on, but you still have to see him play. And at this point, what value does Phillip Rivers have playing for himself as well as the Indianapolis Colts? And I think it's interesting about Phillip Rivers. Never in his case with the Chargers was he a stat chaser, just did not do that. A lot of times he could have passed for more yards, didn't do it. So I don't think these two games now remaining for Phillip Rivers, statistics mean much to him, because if they did, he wouldn't have retired in the first place.
That's a great point. I saw some people bringing up the idea that, oh, Rivers needs a certain amount of yards in the next two games to pass Ben Roethlisberger for sixth all time. And my counterargument here is, what does that do for him? It's not going to improve his Hall of Fame case in 5 years from now, because in 5 years from now, they're both of them are probably passed by guys like Patrick Mahomes, you know, that are throwing for 4,000, Dak Prescott, that are throwing for 4,000 yards every single season. So, and you're right, Aaron, if he wanted to chase numbers, he wouldn't have retired in the first place 5 years ago. So I don't think that's that is in Phillip Rivers' mindset. I want to go under on all Rivers props. What do you think is the better way to attack it? Is it attempts or yardage?
So I looked at it, Scott, with same mindset. I want to take the unders with Rivers because it makes so much sense. Looking at the numbers, I'm looking at his past total attempts, okay. 33.5. So I'm going to take the under on that just because those numbers are basically contingent on four quarters, what he's done in his previous two games. He went over that total last game against San Francisco, but that game meant something. So you have to put this into contrast now against Jacksonville. So I looked at the best way to take his under is 33.5 attempts. I'm going to go under with that because Scott, as you said, maybe he doesn't play the entire game. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more a Jonathan Taylor for incentives or statistics for him. As I could just say in the most obtuse way, it just doesn't make sense for Phillip Rivers to stand back there 34 times and throw the ball. It doesn't do him any good. It doesn't do Indianapolis any good. And yes, he finished his career with Indianapolis, but this isn't a home run trot for Rivers in terms of showing him off to the fans. Mm-hmm. He's a Charger. Yes, he finished with the Colts, but there's just so many factors that Rivers, maybe he doesn't play, as you say, and here comes Riley Leonard to take some of those attempts away.
Yep, we hope that is the case. How are you looking at this Buffalo Bills game against the Philadelphia Eagles? What do you think we see here, and how does it impact your handicap from a prop perspective?
So I'm looking at this one in terms of weather, what's going to be the situation, and I look at Buffalo's poor run defense. So I took it a little bit different with their poor run defense. I'm taking Saquon Barkley under 13.5 receiving yards for a number of different reasons. He doesn't really play a role in the Philadelphia passing game to begin with. Three of his last four games, Scott, he has had zero receptions. So that obviously impacts what happens with his reception total in terms of yards. So 13.5 receiving yards, I'm going to take the under there because Barkley, to get yards against that Buffalo defense, which is near the bottom of the league, all he has to do is run the ball. I don't think he really needs to be part of the passing game.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I like that one. Talking to our professor, Aaron Moore, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. We have a couple of games that have nothing. These teams have nothing to play for. But maybe it's about changing the culture, or going into the offseason with some pride. I look at the Saints against the Tennessee Titans, and yes, New Orleans has won three straight to the point where maybe Tyler Shuck has shown enough that they don't draft a quarterback, that they believe, hey, we drafted this guy in the second round, maybe he's our guy moving forward. And then the Tennessee Titans, Aaron, this, I know people don't want to acknowledge it because they've been such a bad team, right? And Callahan was a disaster as the head coach. But they're 5-2 against the spread in their last seven games. This team has actually played better, under Mike McCoy as the interim head coach. Anything you like here in the matchup of these two teams?
Yeah, I'm going to take on this side of the matchup of teams that really aren't going anywhere. I'm taking Taysom Hill over 20.5 rush yards. And it's interesting from this fact that last week he had 12 carries for 42 yards. So the New Orleans running game, as good as it is with Tyler Shuck, no Alvin Kamara, Devin Neal injured. So last week, Taysom Hill really had a run out of necessity and got 42 yards. And it's interesting. It's almost like the exact opposite of what we were talking about with Phillip Rivers. This is very likely the end of the New Orleans career for Taysom Hill. Kellen Moore was showing him off last week. I think it happens again just because really, who else is going to carry the ball for New Orleans? Audric Estime is certainly not really a number one back. So you can get the gadgets. You can get the Kellen Moore fun plays. Taysom Hill could be in the backfield. He could be a running quarterback. A lot of different ways he can carry the ball. And it's not just out of gadgets. New Orleans really doesn't have a lot of healthy running backs. So give me him over 20.5 rush yards.
Okay, over 20.5 rushing yards there for Taysom Hill. Any other props that you have here for a game that we didn't touch on here for Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp over 2.5 receptions. That's in the Seattle Carolina game. Now that's one of the bigger games in terms of what it means for the playoffs tomorrow. And this one I'm going to look at for the sake of what does Sam Darnold often have problems in these big games? He throws the ball away, really makes some bad decisions. So Cooper Kupp can offer a certain amount of a safety valve for him. So I look at this as an opportunity. Yes, JSN can hit the big home runs, probably get a lot of yards, but I think it has to be something of a different play calling for Sam Darnold and just decision-making. And Cooper Kupp certainly can do that. And it is interesting. I looked at Carolina's numbers against secondary receivers. For the last five games, the number two receiver going against Carolina has had big games. and 2.5 or getting 3 receptions for Cooper Kupp is not a big game for him in terms of his ability. So I like Cooper Kupp over 2.5 receptions in that game tomorrow.
You know, Aaron, a game that we touched on briefly with what's on the line for the Pittsburgh Steelers needing to win here against the Browns in order to make sure that that Week 18 game against the Ravens is completely irrelevant. No DK Metcalf for the Pittsburgh Steelers dealing with that suspension. What do we think happens here with the Steelers passing game? Do we think Aaron Rodgers looks to the tight ends more? We do have a rain game. We do have some wind. Do you think they just pound the rock? Do we, like, Kenneth Gainwell has been a revelation out of the backfield. Do we go Kenneth Gainwell receiving props? How do you think this offense runs here without Metcalf?
I'll look at it without Metcalf in terms of the injuries the Steelers have on the offensive line. I'm going to be a little bit afraid of going with the tight ends. I think you're going to see the tight ends
blocking.
Stay in a lot in terms of blocking. Yeah. So if we look at all those different aspects, Kenneth Gainwell is probably the best option. Certainly with the weather, I don't know how many yards deep down the field Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to throw in that situation. So if we look at it as a running game for the Steelers, and Kenneth Gainwell out of the backfield has really been a fantastic player from a player prop standpoint, fantasy football, DFS. So I would look at Kenneth Gainwell in that situation.
Yeah. No props populating right now up on the sports books. Pretty interesting. We'll see what happens once we get closer and closer to kickoff here on Sunday. Aaron, appreciate the time and the insight as always. Good luck with your bets. We'll talk to you again next week.
Great. Thanks, Scott. Good luck to you.
There he is, our sports betting professor, Aaron Moore, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. No Steelers receiving props up right now on DraftKings, at least. We'll shop around, see what we can find, take a look at that game and more coming up. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll take a look at the results for my Week 17 Trench Report. Talk about the biggest mismatches, the biggest rushing mismatches as well, and the creative way to play the rushing mismatches that would have helped you cash a bet on Christmas. And when we talk about the taking the points with the dogs in these close matchups, well, we're off to a really good start here in week number 17. So we'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes or so from now. Let's continue to run down the schedule here of week 17 in the NFL. We'll talk about the latest line movements and what is on the line or at stake for these teams. So here's what we're looking at on the schedule. Arizona takes on Cincinnati. The Bengals are 7-point favorites here at Circa with a total of 53. Normally, your first look when you see this matchup is, well, we have a warm weather indoor team in Arizona that is going to Cincinnati where it's going to be cold, maybe snowy. We want to fade the Arizona Cardinals in that frigid temperature that we're going to see there in Ohio late in December. Well, we might get some rain in this game, but it's not going to be snowy and it's not going to be cold. 66 degrees or so, it looks like, there in Cincinnati. A balmy day in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I don't think the weather might impact these teams significantly. If there's any impact, I mean, we do have maybe 10-mile-per-hour winds and some rain. It would benefit a team like the Bengals that has been running the ball a lot more effectively lately. Chase Brown has been certainly cashing in some touchdown bets, cashing in some yardage bets, and we know that the Cardinals are a pass team, right? What Jacoby Brissett has done since taking over at quarterback has been just throwing the football all over the field. So that's one where, yes, I would favor Cincinnati. Is this line maybe getting away from you? Maybe getting a little bit away from you here. Bengals, 7-point favorites. Maybe they're a teaser leg. Tease them down. Could be certainly something to consider. The Seattle Seahawks visit Carolina, whereas the Seattle Seahawks are a 7-point favorite over the Panthers. And for the Panthers, yes, we could also see some rain here. No wind. It's going to be up 50-somewhat degrees. For the Panthers, they are in first place right now in the NFC South. They could clinch the division if they win this game against the Seahawks. So they pull an upset as 7-point dogs, and they win and improve to 9-7. And then the Bucs lose to the Miami Dolphins, because the most wins the Bucs can get on the season right now would be 9. If Tampa wins here against Miami, Tampa wins in week 18 against Carolina, they finish at 9-8. If the Panthers win and the Bucs lose, they're going to clinch the division. If both teams lose, still comes down to next week. If both teams win, still comes down to next week. So everything's going to be on the line here week 18 for the Panthers and the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's talk about that Tampa game coming up against Miami. Right now, Tampa, a 6-point favorite, total of 44. And I actually think that this is a really good spot for Tampa Bay. Going to be a beautiful day. No weather impact there in Miami. Looking like 79 degrees, clear skies. But this feels like a get-right spot for a Tampa team that, for all the talk about all of their weapons, right? They haven't played together. They haven't had opportunities to be on the field together. Last week might have been their first game with all five of their top weapons. And you could say six if you want to add, or seven if you want to add Buck Irving and Rashad White. Maybe Sean Tucker, you want to add eight. And I'm talking about having Mike Evans on the field, Chris Godwin on the field, Emeka Ibuka certainly, Jalen McMillan, their tight end Cade Otton. So Baker Mayfield's got a lot of mouths to feed. And last week it didn't look good, because maybe it's just that it's not, there's no continuity. It's not good right now. It's not smooth right now. But with more practice time, with more reps, going up against the Dolphins defense that I think can be had, this feels like, in my opinion, a get-right spot for Tampa Bay, setting up a Week 18 matchup here with the Carolina Panthers with the division on the line. So I like Tampa a lot here. They're laying 6. I do like them in this game. Let's move on to our next game, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers at Cleveland. We talked about that ad nauseum. Pittsburgh now a 3.5-point favorite pretty much across the board. Here at Circa, still -3 with the Ravens winning here on Saturday night. It is the Steelers -3 for me. If you don't want to lay the 3.5, I wouldn't lay the 3.5. I'd rather go money line. So find the best money line price here instead of laying the 3.5. But it's Steelers -3 for me here at Circa, because this is a game where, even though they're without DK Metcalf, they're without TJ Watt, you cannot lose this game. The Steelers will be in significant jeopardy of losing this division if they lose this game. Because going up against the Ravens in Week 18 without DK Metcalf, and we'll see if TJ Watt can make his return. He just returned to practice this week after having surgery for that collapsed lung. You don't want to, and then you throw in the fact that Lamar's now going to have 2 weeks off to rest from his injury because he didn't play here on Saturday. So he's had time off from the Week 16 game, which he left early with the injury. Didn't play here in Week 17. Now he's going to play Week 18 with the chance to win the division on the line. I don't want to be there if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have to sell out to win this game. So I like the Steelers a lot here with a max motivated effort. Moving on, next game on the board. We talked a little bit about this with Aaron Moore, our professor. New Orleans at Tennessee. Right now, Saints 1.5-point favorites at the Titans, total of 40. I think that Tennessee could be a teaser leg, if we're being honest. Tennessee's played better. They've played a lot better this season under Mike McCoy. That's the thing. Since they fired Brian Callahan, they're 5-3 ATS. They're 5-2 in their last 7 games against the spread. This is a team that has played a lot better. So I do think that they might be a feisty home dog to back here in this spot. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if they play hard here and maybe upset the New Orleans Saints on their home field. Outdoor, indoor team going outdoors. Weather in Nashville, let's see. Rain and 15-mile-an-hour winds. So looks like we can have a run-heavy approach here for both the Titans and the New Orleans Saints. Next, let's take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars at Indianapolis. We talked about this a lot earlier. With the Texans winning on Saturday, the Colts have been eliminated. I don't think we see Phillip Rivers for the entirety of this game. And I think the Jaguars are the team to back here. Line is -5.5. There was a lot of market buy-in on the Indianapolis Colts, and I don't agree with it because I think Jacksonville is one of the more underrated teams this season. They are 10-5 against the spread. That's the second best mark in the NFL this season. 11-4, obviously, is their record. They have been they've been great this year. Their line play has been solid, and I think that as you know, much as people wanted to back the Colts with Phillip Rivers, with nothing to play for here, man, I could see the letdown. The fact that every other situation saw the market move and steam against them where the team has been eliminated and it hasn't moved and steamed against the Jaguars, that is surprising to me. Remember, when the Eagles won and eliminated the Dallas Cowboys, the market steamed against the Cowboys and the Chargers blew them out. The dream crusher scenario, right? The market has not steamed here on Jacksonville, even though Indy has been eliminated. So that is very interesting. Patriots play the Jets. Pats are 13.5-point favorites. What a makeshift roster that the Patriots are going to have in this game. It would not surprise me if the Jets keep it close. They're not going to win. They're a bad team. But this game could look like the Broncos game against the Chiefs did, where the Broncos knew the Chiefs were not going to beat them. The Chiefs got absolutely dominated in the box score. I mean, they lost the stats significantly, but they covered the game. Broncos were 2-touchdown favorites. They won by a touchdown easily. Never a sweat. Even at the end, when Chris Oladokun had a chance to throw for a touchdown, you still never felt that he was going to do it. So I don't think that it's going to happen here with the Jets, but I do think they could cover. We'll get into the Bills game coming up against the Eagles coming up next because that is the marquee game of the day. And frankly, a point spread that I just don't understand, if we're being honest. We'll get into that, plus the Trench Report coming up next. But we know reaching people is easy, but reaching the right people, that's everything. And Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening, podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media makes it happen. Visit vsin.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, and you can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. It is week 17 of the NFL season. It got off to an early start on Christmas with 3 games, and then we had 2 games here on Saturday, and now we'll play a slate here on Sunday, and then, of course, it'll wrap up on Monday Night Football. Week 17 of the NFL season, where we as viewers needed or will need 7 different streaming services in order to watch these games. You had the Netflix games on Christmas, the Amazon Prime game. You had the NFL Network game on Saturday, the Peacock game on Saturday. You have the regular Fox and CBS games, the NBC Sunday night game, and the ESPN Monday Night Football game. 7 different streaming services to watch the NFL. Do you remember when, like, you can get every channel all together in one spot? Everything was just in one location. You didn't need different apps. You just put it, it was all in one spot. We should do that again. We'll call it cable. And you'll get all of your channels in one spot. It'll be genius. One price. You get everything. It's amazing. Can't believe they've never thought of this before. Anyway, as we look at the games here for Week 17, one game jumps off the page to me, and that is the Buffalo Bills against the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, a little bit of discrepancy here in the market. We have the Buffalo Bills, 1.5-point favorite. Circa certainly taking a stand, having Buffalo as a 2-point favorite over the Philadelphia Eagles. This line doesn't make sense to me, unless you are telling me that Josh Allen is hurt. And that could very well be the case, right? Because people will point to last week and people will point to the Bills offense not looking good after the, you know, Josh Allen had to have his x-ray and the foot injury, but he did return to the game and they won. Offense didn't look great, but Josh Allen still returned to the game. Josh Allen was still dealing with whatever he's been dealing with all week. He's fine playing in this game. I think that this line is giving the Eagles too much respect for being the defending Super Bowl champions. Philadelphia, you want to talk about teams that have nothing to play for? Philly's got nothing to play for. The Philadelphia Eagles right now are pretty much locked in to their postseason spot, which is the 3 seed in the NFC. Now, we could look at to see where things could play out. Could they get the 2 seed? Here, you know what has to happen for them to increase their standings? They have to win their remaining 2 games and finish with 12 wins and hope that the Bears lose their remaining 2 games so that the Bears finish with 11 wins. Because if both these teams finish with 11 wins, well, the Bears beat the Eagles. So the Bears have the tiebreaker over Philadelphia on the head-to-head. So unless the Eagles are winning both of these last 2 games, here against Buffalo and then the final game of the season against the Commanders, and the Bears, who are playing for the number 1 seed, lose to the 49ers, and then in Week 18, lose to the Lions, that's the only way the Eagles can improve their seeding. I think the Eagles get too much respect here. This is not the same Eagles team that we thought we were getting coming into the season. Is it the same Bills team? No, probably not. But the X factor here is Josh Allen. And Josh Allen has played like an MVP candidate. He's not going to win the MVP. He's not going to be in the conversation with Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's having an incredible statistical season. And Drake May's having a great season, and what a nice story it has been for the New England Patriots. But Josh Allen has willed his team to victories here in the second halves of football games. He has played at an elite level this season. And I think that's the difference. And Josh Allen's the difference, frankly, if you look up and down, you know, the entire AFC landscape when it comes to the playoffs. He's the only quarterback that I trust. He's the only quarterback that I trust in the AFC right now. So, man, it's an interesting spread. The market is saying here that these are even teams. With the home field advantage that they have in Buffalo, right, with weather possibly coming into play here, it looks like we're going to get some rain. I just don't see it that way. I don't see the Eagles and Bills being even teams. I think Buffalo, I think the fact with the way that Josh Allen's playing, with the way that James Cook's running the football, I think the Bills have a slight edge here. I really do. I really do. You know who else thinks the Bills have a slight edge here? The Trench Report. Every single week up on my website and on my Twitter page, you guys follow me at Scott's On Air. I put out a weekly Trench Report, handicapping the games based off of one thing and one thing only, the line play. Offensive line play versus defensive line play versus offensive line play. And in the weekly trench report for this week, as we do each and every week, we look at the rushing mismatches. And the Buffalo Bills against the Philadelphia Eagles was identified as one of the top five rushing mismatches here in this week's schedule. Meaning, the Buffalo Bills, James Cook, should be able to run and have success over the Philadelphia Eagles. That is the difference in this game. The Bills having the running edge over the Philadelphia Eagles. If you look at the trench report each and every week, the running backs are crushing it when it comes to the rushing mismatches. Sometimes, most times I should say, it's the RB1s. The starting running backs are dominating. In other times, we're getting the backup running backs that are having phenomenal games. Sometimes the quarterbacks even get involved. Look no further than on Christmas. The Cowboys identified in my trench report as the number five biggest rushing mismatch of the week going up against the Washington Commanders. Javonte Williams got off to a great start in that game, but he injured his shoulder, a little bit banged up, right? So Javonte Williams doesn't play the full game, doesn't get the full complement of carries against the Commanders. He finishes with 13 carries for 54 yards, goes under his total. But Malik Davis, the backup, had 20 carries for 103 yards as he dominated on the ground. The Cowboys, as a team, rushed for 211 yards. And I think this is where you can get creative with my trench report with the rushing mismatches, is bet the team rushing props rather than the individual running back. Different sports books will allow you to do this, but you'll shop around and you'll find the team rushing props, and that is what you should bet instead of the individual player. So you look at the Buffalo Bills against the Bills against the Eagles, and let's see if we can have a team rushing prop. The other way to do it is to just bet a combo. Some books allow you to bet the combo rushing prop, which is you'll have both running backs to combine for a certain amount of yards. That is another one where I like it as well, where you can bet both the running backs, the RB1 and the RB2, to go over their rushing numbers. So let's see. As we look at some of the rushing numbers here for this game, James Cook numbers, Josh Allen numbers, I want Bills total numbers. James Cook's at 87.5. Josh Allen's at 30.5. I honestly like over both of those guys. But if you can find a combo bet, that's the way I'd handle some of these rushing mismatches. Other rushing mismatches for this week include the Los Angeles Rams over the Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football. How about this one on Sunday night? Both the Chicago Bears and the 49ers have a rushing edge versus each other. How about that? Should be a fun game for Christian McCaffrey, DeAndre Swift, and Kyle Manungai. Coming up next, we'll tell you about the top five biggest mismatches overall of the week, how they have done on a straight-up basis, but also the top three closest matchups of the week and how the underdogs continue to dominate in games that I have identified as being too close to call in the trenches. We have already seen two of the top three games play out, and two of them have been covers by the dogs. Will we see a third here on Sunday? Hey, if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from bowl season and the NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll get our college football playoff betting guide featuring expert playoff brackets, power ratings, college football and bowl best bets, access to game previews for every game up on vsin.com. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Steinberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. And every week I do post my trench report up on my website. We talk about it here on Saturday nights on VSiN. And what has happened is we are finding that, exactly like I planned it with my experiment, we are finding an underappreciated aspect of the betting markets. When it comes to just looking at these games from a trench standpoint, from the offensive and defensive lines, just looking at the top five biggest mismatches of the week since I started publishing this in week five of the NFL season, five top mismatches every week, regardless of the spread, the quarterback playing, it doesn't matter. Most of the time, it's going to identify favorites, right? Because it makes sense. You have a good offensive line. You have a good defensive line. You have an edge over your opponent in the trenches. The majority of the time, you're going to be a favorite in that game, right? Look at the Denver Broncos, the best offensive line the best overall line, I should say, offensive and defensive in the league. Coming into this week, the Broncos in my composite scoring system, second pass blocking offensive line. They are number two pass rush defensive line. Number four, run-stuffing defensive line. They're the only team that shows up in the top five of three different categories. Guess what? They're favored most weeks. They pop up on the trench report a lot of weeks here as being having a mismatch edge. And in weeks where they're dogs, guess what? We've bet them, and they've covered. So far this season, again, top five mismatches since week five of the regular season. My top five mismatches, 44-17 straight up, with 11 of those 44 wins being outright underdog winners. I also, since week eight, have looked at the top three closest games. So where no team has a significant edge over the opponent, a close game as identified in my trench report. In those three games each week, starting in week eight, just taking the points with the underdogs in those games, blindly taking the dogs in those games, because if there's no edge in the trenches, well, we're going to take the points in that game. 16-10-1 against the spread, 10 outright wins by the underdogs. 16-10-1 ATS with 10 outright winners. So far to start week number 17 in the NFL, top three closest matchups: the Baltimore Ravens and Green Bay Packers. The second closest matchup of the week, underdog wins outright in the Baltimore Ravens. The Dallas Cowboys, Washington Commanders, third closest matchup of the week, Commanders cover as underdogs. Now our record stands at 18-10-1 against the spread with 11 outright winners going into Sunday, with the number one closest trench report matchup of the week being the New England Patriots at the New York Jets, meaning we are taking the 13.5 with the New York Jets. Again, just looking at these closest matchups each and every week, coming into week number 17, we were 16-10-1 ATS with 10 outright winners by these underdogs. The Ravens and the Packers, Ravens win outright as dogs, and the Cowboys and Commanders, Commanders cover as dogs. They closed at like 9-point dogs. 8.5. Crazy, the line movement on that game. But the Commanders cover, only lose by a touchdown. So 18-10-1 ATS with 11 outright winners. One game left here, and that is the New York Jets against the Patriots. We'll take the 13.5 points here with the New York Jets. As far as the top five overall biggest mismatches of the week in the Trench Report, my Trench Report is released every single Wednesday. Find the links up on my Twitter page at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. The number one mismatch of the week, the Seattle Seahawks against the Carolina Panthers. The number two biggest mismatch, the Houston Texans over the Chargers. Guess what? Houston wins that game as an underdog. So now we can update the standings to 45-17 straight up with 12 outright underdog winners. Number three, the Los Angeles Rams against the Falcons on Monday Night Football. Number four, the Tampa Bay Bucks against the Miami Dolphins. And number five, the New York Giants against the Las Vegas Raiders. That game is quite interesting because it is the Tankathon. the tank bowl, the toilet bowl, if you will. Let me just say this. Players don't tank. The organizations, they might not put the players in the best position to succeed, like the Raiders might be doing, sitting Brock Bowers down for the next two games, telling Max Crosby he's being shut down for the next two games, to the point where, according to Jay Glazer of Fox, Max Crosby was so upset by that decision that he stormed out of the building. I don't think that this is the Raiders trying to lose this game against the Giants to protect themselves and give themselves the number one overall pick. I think this is the Raiders protecting their two best assets for next season. And in the case of Max Crosby, who is absolutely a trade candidate or a trade piece, they're protecting his value for the offseason. Shutting these two players down is not about losing this game to the New York Giants. It's about making sure that they don't get hurt any further, which in the case of Max Crosby, hurts his market value over the next couple of months when they're trying to trade him, or other teams are certainly inquiring about trading for him. And also, it allows you to get these guys ready to start week number one of next season, so you don't go into next year with your best player in Brock Bowers not being available for you in week number one because he's still rehabbing a re-aggravated injury that he suffered in week 17 or week 18 of a meaningless football game. The Raiders players that will be playing in this game against the New York Giants are not trying to lose this game on purpose. They don't care about the number one overall pick. You think Geno Smith is going out here on Sunday thinking, well, I better suck today because I want this team to replace me next year? Huh? You think Pete Carroll is thinking, I want to lose so that next year, when there's a different coach here, most likely, he gets the number one overall pick? No. He wants to win. Geno Smith wants to win. For the Giants, Jackson Dart's not thinking about losing so that they can get the number one overall pick. He's the quarterback. And he certainly doesn't want to be in a position where the Giants might think about drafting a quarterback because they're worried about Jackson Dart's long-term health prognosis with the way that he plays and the concussions that he's already had this season. You think Mike Kafka, the interim coach of the Giants, is coaching this game so that whatever coaching staff coaches the team next year is going to have the number one overall pick? No, he's trying to audition for jobs. He's trying to win this football game. So I get why the market has moved in favor of the New York Giants, because they certainly are a team that you would think has more of a reason to win than the Raiders have more of a reason to win. And yes, the Raiders have, you know, by shutting down their two top players, their best offensive player and their best defensive player, it signals something to the bettors out there. But I will caution you guys, be careful. Players don't tank. Players don't tank. There was a couple of years ago where the New York Jets were in a position to get the number one overall pick and draft Trevor Lawrence. And instead, they won their game. One meaningless win for the New York Jets, beating the Browns 18-16 in 2020. That gave the Jags the number one overall pick. If tanking was real, if organizations cared about what players cared about next year, don't you think, for a player that was considered a generational talent, they would lose on purpose? It's disrespectful to the players that will be on the field tomorrow to talk about tanking. Do not be surprised if the Raiders win this football game. I actually think taking the Raiders in a teaser is a very attractive leg here for Week 17 Sunday. I'm going to fade the noise. Don't forget, tomorrow you can catch any last-minute line moves with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show. at 9 a.m. Eastern, followed by VSiN's countdown to kickoff at noon. And then you got to stick around. Live Bet Sunday all day for all of your in-game betting action. I will be back on Live Bet Sunday tomorrow night. We'll take you through the second halves of the afternoon slate, and we will preview Sunday night football between the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears. We'll also take a look at Monday night football and the college football playoff quarterfinals coming up next week. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.